Case, please.
Thank you. Tonight, the first case is 11612-9119366 Coastal Highway LLC is seeking a special use exception to replace an existing billboard and variances from the side yard setback, the separation from another billboard height, the distance from public lands, and the maximum square footage for a billboard per section 115-159.5B2, 115-159.5B3, 115-159.5C, and 115-210A3 of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. The property is located on the west side of Coastal Highway, Route 1, between Miller Road and Airport Road. The 911 address is 19366 Coastal Highway, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 325.29. There were no letters in support, no letters of opposition, and no mail returns. Specifically, they are seeking a 42-foot variance from the side setback, an 89-foot variance separation from another billboard across the road, a variance from the public lands within 300 feet, a 6-foot variance for height, and a 276-square-foot variance for the size. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Patricia Derrick. So store address or my home address?
Your address if you wish to give.
10 3rd Street, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Okay. And can you wait right here? Can you step up, sir? Can you state your name and address for the record?
James Derrick, 19 Minutes Lane, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. I think you all know me. I've been here several times before. Tonight I'm representing 19366 Coastal Highway LLC, which, as you just heard from Ms. Cornwell, is the current owner of the property that's the subject of this tonight's application. The two people who were just sworn in by Mr. Sharp are members of the Derrick family, who are members and principals of that LLC, Patty Derrick and Jim Derrick. Tonight's application, as you just heard, is to replace an off-premise sign or billboard, which, as you know, pursuant to Sussex County Code Section 115-80C and 115-159.5, requires a special use exception, and then any variances that are necessary, and those will be reviewed here in a moment. I'm sure that some of you have observed the property and note that the sign that's actually currently on the billboard advertises the Seashell Shop, which of course is the store itself, and that is something that will be corrected. A moment ago, I handed to Ms. Cornwell exhibit notebooks to become part of the record and help clarify the application. In fact, the first exhibit that's in that book is simply the application that was filed. The property that we are talking about tonight is best known as the Seashell Shop, which is located on Route 1 or Coastal Highway. If you look at the first page of tab 3, you will see a tax map that showing this property highlighted in yellow. And as you can see, to the north of the property is Miller Road, and to the south of the property is Airport Road. I believe all of the board members are longtime Sussex Countyans who are likely to remember when this site was part of the landscaping work that was done along the medians of Sussex County and on this property by Charles Mills, the first chairman of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. In addition to the landscaping which was done by Mr. Mills on this property, there was also picnic tables, and this was sort of a rest area or rest stop along that section of Route 1 or Delaware Route 14 as it was known previously. Throughout the history of the property then and now, it's had a billboard located at the northern edge of the property. The Derrick family purchased this property in 1993. At Exhibit 2 is a copy of the deed from when they purchased the property in 1993, rather. And then there's a subsequent deed in 2010 when the Derrick family transferred the property into the LLC, which is the entity which currently owns the property. The property is zoned C1, and if you look at Exhibit 3, the second page of that, that is a portion of the county's zoning map. And as you can see, the Route 1 corridor there is shown in red. 600 feet on either side of Route 1 is zoned C1 commercial. And this property, which is immediately adjacent to Route 1, falls within that zoning classification. The property, which is tax parcel 325.29, is an oddly shaped piece of land. As you may recall, when you were looking at the tax map, which was on tab 3, the first page, the property is triangular in shape, except for the northern side, which is curved rather than straight. But if you were to generically describe it, it is a triangular or wedged-shaped piece of property. However, even more unique than the shape of the property are the topographical elevations of the property. The seashell shop itself sits very high up on the property. There's a little knoll or high area on the property. And then the property gets obviously goes down from there, and actually the one of the lowest points on the property is where the billboard is currently located. Most of you have probably been to the seashell shop at one point in time, and you'll know that if you pull into the parking lot, there's essentially two tiers to the parking lot, and they progressively get higher as you go up towards the seashell shop, and then there's even stairs to get into the seashell shop. And these things highlight exactly how low the property gets at the northern edge. And in fact, of course, the billboard lies even further north from those areas and is even lower in area than the parking lots or the store. You can also experience this not by pulling into the parking lot, but by driving down Route 1. If you drive down Route 1, as you go past the seashell shop, you'll see the miniature golf course on your right, and you'll observe that it's at eye level or even above eye level, so you're looking up at the golf course. Again, for as flat as this section of the state of Delaware is, there is more variation of the topography here than most other sites. In addition to these natural features which appear on the property, there are two other things which make this sign appear even lower and that it sits in a hole. One is that Sussex County has a pump station number 201, on the property immediately to the north of this property that is higher than the area where the billboard is located. In addition, there is an on-premise sign for the shopping center immediately behind this, the Rehoboth Marketplace, and the on-premise sign sits on the top of a small hill. So if, as you drive down Route 1, and actually if you turn to Exhibit 6 and then Tab J, you will see some Google Earth imagery showing what this property looks like as you drive past it. And the first thing you'll see is the Rehoboth Marketplace sign and the little hill I was just describing, which causes that sign to sit up high. Stepping down from there is the Sussex County pump station, and then going down further from that is the billboard that's in the subject of tonight's application. Tonight's application is for the replacement of this billboard, which is a little more, or approximately 500 square feet. The application would replace the support structure, which is currently telephone poles and plywood, and raise it with a monopole steel structure, and raise the sign up so that it does not appear to be down in a hole. Included in your exhibit notebook at tab 4 is a copy of a prior Board of Adjustment finding for this property that was brought by the Derricks. When they acquired the property in 1993, this billboard was already there, and then they filed this application in 1995 to modify the billboard. Exhibit 5 in your notebook is the site plan showing the location of the existing billboard, which is just under the, you can see it probably if you look on the papers and your documents better than what's on the screen. but it lies just under the location where the proposed billboard is situated. There are two pages. If you look at Exhibit 5 in the notebook, the first is this page, which is the aerial overlay page, and the second page is the site plan without the aerial overlay. And on that one, in the left-hand corner there, about the middle of the screen, you can see the existing billboard underneath the proposed billboard. As you know, pursuant to Section 159.5, an off-premise sign is permitted in the C1 zoning district if it meets certain requirements. First, there has to be a special use exception granted by the board. Then there can be no dwellings, churches, schools, or additional off-premise signs or public lands within 300 feet of the proposed sign. Then, in addition, the sign must be 25 feet from the front property line, 50 feet from side property lines, and no larger than 600 square feet with a maximum of 300 feet on any one side or facing. In addition, the proposed sign is supposed to be a maximum of 25 feet in height. The site plan, which is on the screens right now and at Exhibit 5 in your notebooks, shows each of these requirements and where the variances are necessary. The sort of purplish color shows, which is an oblong circle, shows a radius of 300 feet extending from each side of the proposed sign. You will see that there are no dwellings, churches, or schools that fall within that 300-foot radius. As was indicated when the application was read, there is another billboard that falls within 211 feet. And you can, it's hard to distinguish on the aerial overlay. But in the upper left-hand corner of that site plan, you can see the billboard across the street, which is actually in front of the WSFS building on that site. That sign has been there probably as long as the original sign on this property. I researched it at the Planning and Zoning Office. Mr. Lank did some research as well, and there does not appear to be any approval for this billboard, which likely means that it was erected there prior to signs coming before the Board of Adjustment for special use exceptions. In addition, as I mentioned a moment ago, one of the requirements is the distance or separation distance between public lands. As you can see on the site plan, there's a small square or rectangular box immediately to the north of the property, and that is Sussex County Pump Station number 201. The proposal tonight for this application is that the sign be situated 25 feet from the front yard setback line, which is actually 2 feet further away from Route 1 than it is currently located. The proposed sign is to be eight feet from the side boundary line on the north side, which is the same location and distance as the existing sign. And the application is for a total of 1,152 square feet or 576 square feet on each side, which is the standard size billboard and similar to the existing size. The proposed height of this billboard is 31 feet measured from ground level. The applicant seeks to replace the existing telephone poles and plywood structure with a steel monopole. As the board is aware, there are many advantages to steel monopoles. What occurs with a steel monopole is a fully engineered structure that's designed and able to withstand the wind loads in this area. The derricks have had to replace several telephone poles over the years due to the prevailing winds, which have a tendency to push this sign to the south. Because of the elevations on this and the conditions on surrounding properties, obviously this site is a challenge for this billboard so that it is visible and allows the store to be visible from Route 1. This replacement requires five variances specifically. The first one is the height variance, which was mentioned a moment ago, so that the sign would be a total of 31 feet measured at ground level. As you know, the code requires the sign to be no higher than 25 feet. The reason for the request of 6 feet in height is because of how low this property sits compared to the properties that surround it and Route 1. If the sign is raised to a height of 31 feet, at ground level, it'll be 31 feet from the ground to the top of the sign. However, it would be exactly the correct height if the ground continued over straight from Route 1 to where the sign was located. And as will be mentioned later, this satisfies the minimum requirement for this application, as the code does not necessarily define where one measures the height of the sign from. If you were to measure it from Route 1, the sign would be in full compliance as is being proposed tonight. If you measure it from ground level, then there, a 6-foot variance is required. And if you look at the photographs that we looked at a moment ago, you can see how if you measure from ground level, the height of the sign might be able to be varied as you could build up ground and in that manner influence the height of the sign. Again, tonight's proposal is to have essentially the plane for ground level extend over from Route 1 over to where the sign is located and have the height based upon that. There's a size variance that is requested of 276 per feet, which creates a standardized 12 by 48 sign that's similar in size to the existing sign, which is almost 500 square feet on each side. It's a 42-foot side yard setback being requested from the 50-foot side yard setback requirement. This is the same exact location as far as the distance to the neighboring property as the current sign is located. And as was indicated previously, this is Sussex County's pump station is what is on this property immediately to the north. There's an 89-foot separation distance from another sign that's being requested, and that's the sign we looked at a moment ago on the other side of Route 1. This will still comply with DLDOT standards. As the board is aware, DLDOT only measures separation distance between signs on the same side of the highway. Thus, this will comply with DLDOT's requirements. The fifth variance that's being requested is a 292-foot variance from public lands. I think we've discussed before in prior billboard applications that the Sussex County Code doesn't contain a definition of public lands per se. And on the off chance that land owned by Sussex County for a pump station is considered public lands, the applicant has requested a variance from those public lands, again, which would be leaving the sign exactly where it is currently located. As I had mentioned at the outset, tonight's application is twofold in that there's a special use exception that's required as well as the variances which were just described. These both have different legal standards. The first request before the board tonight is for a special use exception. As you know, the standard for that is that the exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. There are at least three reasons that this proposed relocation will not substantially affect adversely those uses of adjacent and neighboring properties. First, there's an existing sign on the property in this exact same location, and this will be a simple replacement of that sign, which will make it actually less of an obstruction to improvements on properties. Second, the placement of a billboard in this area of Route 1, or the replacement of a billboard more correctly, is consistent with the character of the surrounding area, as this is a highly developed commercial area of Route 1, including numerous other off-premises signs. Exhibit 6 in the notebook is, as I have done before, a virtual paper drive down Route 1. It begins at the billboard that's on the Panera Bread location and continues as you go south on Route 1 until you hit or reach the Seashell Shop site. As you'll see in this virtual tour, if you look at the first page, you'll see that there are highlighted letters above each of the billboards that are within this area of Route 1. The letters and the tabs behind those correspond to give you a closer view of that billboard, both the front and back of each of those billboards. So for example, on the first page, there are two billboards highlighted. The one on the left is A, which is the Panera Bread billboard. And both sides of that are shown then at tab A. Similarly, tab B is the billboard that is immediately north of the Burger King site, and the facings of that billboard are shown. And then you go down, there's the billboard at Krabby Dick's, the billboard at the old Exxon station, which will be a new Royal Farms in the coming months. Then there's the billboards at Atlantic Liquors, the billboards in front of the Comfort Inn, across the street in front of the Rehoboth Diner. One not pictured here because it was too new for Google. There is a billboard in front of TGI Fridays in that shopping center, and that is not shown on Google Earth yet because it was erected very, very recently. The third reason why a special use, we can know that this will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties, is that it is consistent with other replacement signs that have been brought before this board and where the construction has already been undertaken and those signs installed. Replacement signs take aging and obsolete signs and replace them with engineered structures that are safer and more aesthetically pleasing. If you look at Exhibit 7 in the notebook, you will see four examples of these replacement applications along Route 1, including the signs at Panera Bread, the sign at Creative Concepts, the sign at Jimmy Lin's, and the most recent one, replacement billboard that was considered by this board a month ago, the sign just north of Burger King. It's actually on the property on the north side of Burger King, not at the Burger King site. One question often asked by members of the board, I think Mr. Workman in particular, is whether this sign is already leased for advertising. The sign is not leased for advertising, but there are no vacancies along this area of Route 1. I drove this yesterday. There are no vacancies. All the pictures of the billboards that are in here, those signs are all occupied. The only billboard that currently has vacancies is the new one in front of TGI Fridays that was just installed. It will also not be a problem because the applicants themselves have several businesses in this area, and if there are not advertisers who want to advertise there, they have other businesses that they will be able to advertise on those billboards that are not on the same premises as the sign itself. The second part of tonight's application is for the five variances that were previously described. The five factors for granting a variance. First is uniqueness. As was described earlier, the property has a unique shape as well as unique topographical and varying elevations on the site and improvements on adjacent properties which create a uniqueness. The site cannot otherwise be developed. This variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. This is not a new development or use, but a replacement which is it already in existence. The third factor is whether or not the variance was created by the applicant. The applicant did not create the shape of the property, nor interfere with any of the elevations on the property, nor can the applicant did the applicant have control over Sussex County's installation of the pump station or the neighbor's erection of a sign on the small hill to the north of the property. The fourth factor is whether or not it will alter the essential character of the neighborhood. This is very similar to the standard for the special use exception. However, this application will not be detrimental to the public welfare. There are no residential properties within 300 feet. It's consistent, as I mentioned a moment ago, with the character of the area, which is a highly developed commercial corridor with many other billboards. In fact, the proposed sign is smaller in size and height than nine of the billboards shown in the pictures that are shown in Exhibit 6. The proposed sign will not substantially or permanently impair the use or development of adjacent properties. The fifth factor is whether or not it is the minimum variance that will afford relief. And this is the minimum variance that will allow the replacement of the structure with an engineered steel monopole. This will bring the front yard setback into conformity with, with the county standards, and it will keep it the same height as Route 1, as I discussed a moment ago. For all of these reasons, the applicant asked the board to grant the requested variances and special use exception. I'm going to ask Mr. Derrick, he's heard the information that was presented to the board this evening. Was everything that was presented in the application accurate?
Yes, it was.
That concludes the presentation. Myself and the Derricks are available if the board has any questions.
All right, let me see. Okay, let's see if there's any questions from members of the board, and I'm going to start off with you, Mr. Ritter.
What height is the current sign?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
What height is the current sign?
It's at 18 feet measured from ground level.
I have no other questions.
Okay. Mr. Burton?
You said ground level. Is that counting the sink?
Correct. That's right. If you take the base of the sign, where it meets the ground, to the top of the sink.
To the top. So you're sort of adding from that sink. You're going in the same place, right?
Correct.
So that's why you're adding up.
That's
to get it back up because of that sink in that ground.
Correct.
So will you be the same height as the rest of the signs then?
We would.
I mean, in the average?
If the ground extended over from Route 1 over to where the sign was, then yes, it would be 25 feet high.
Okay.
So if somebody were to put a sign up, it would be essentially immediately the same size as the one across the street, which is 25 feet high.
Uh-huh.
It'll be the same height as that because the ground there is the same level as Route 1.
Okay. No questions?
Mr. Mills?
On the same plane.
That's a better way to say it.
No other questions?
Mr. Hudson?
That answered my question.
Okay. And I have no further questions. Okay, Mr. Sharp. Excuse me.
How long has the pump station been there?
I don't know the exact time frame that the pump station has been there.
Do you know
there.
If it was there before or after the sign went up?
It was.
Ma'am, if you could step up to the mic so we can catch you on there. That's okay.
I'm Patty Derrick. It was put there the day that the 1 year after the moratorium was lifted for the to put the sewer in, it was added, which was about, I'd say, 2005. I'm getting a little old to remember everything. Sorry.
That's okay.
About right in then. We bought it in 93, and for 10 years it was not there, at least.
And how big is the current sign? What are the dimensions?
It's close to 12 by 40, but those are rounding down on the sign. It's actually a little bit bigger than that.
Two-sided?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Sir, can you please come forward?
State your name and address for the record.
Gregory Fisher, 7763 Grace Circle, Seaton, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Callaway, members of the board, and others. Rick Verl for Gannos, G-A-N-N-O-S, LLC. Gannos is the owner of the Rehoboth Marketplace Shopping Center. Some of you know it, or some people know it, as the Food Lion Shopping Center. It's been there for quite some time. Lies immediately behind the property owned by the applicant. Gannos has owned the shopping center since 2005, and they're in opposition to the application tonight. Before we take a look at what's been requested, I thought it might be helpful that we look at what's there already. And if you'll turn to tab B, there are a couple of photographs for you to look at. First one is the existing billboard. Mr. Hutt acknowledged at the commencement of his presentation that there's something very wrong with that billboard. It is clearly supposed to be an off-premise sign, and yet advertised very prominently is the business of the Seashell Shop, which means that the applicant has been in violation of the county ordinances for a good many years. There is to the left of that same photo the on-premise sign, which when you turn to the second photograph, you see in more detail. And what we see from the panel, which is lit up in this particular photograph, is that the on-premise sign is advertising a business located off the premises. There's a business called Shall We Bounce, which is actually located down around where Spring Lake is on Route 1, down around the Forgotten Mile. So we have applicants before you who are using an off-premise sign to advertise an on-premise business and an on-premise sign that advertises, at least in part, an off-premise business. Third photograph is another sign located on the property. I was not able to determine before tonight whether or not that sign is permitted. It would appear to be at least a second on-premise sign. And given the size of the one you just saw, my suspicion is that it will exceed the maximum permitted for on-premise signs. And the fourth sign, the fourth photograph is right by the entrance to the Shell Shop, and it appears to be a large ice cream cone, arguably a sign, perhaps a structure, but again, I have no clear indication as to whether or not that was actually permitted. Item number A, which I skipped, but I think was also in Mr. Hutt's exhibits, were the 1995 minutes. And in 1995, these very applicants came before you. They asked for the replacement of an older billboard and got permission to replace it. And so what they did was to put the billboard that's here tonight exactly where you see it. In other words, they chose the location for the current billboard. It wasn't a function of the ground caving in around it. It wasn't a function of everything getting built up around them. 20 years ago, the applicants chose the lowest point on their property to place the billboard. It probably made sense. They wanted to use the high ground for the building and the parking. But they consciously made the decision to locate the billboard on what might be called the waste area and created the situation, in fact, from which they seek relief tonight. Gano subjects, and so do all their tenants. Tab C is a letter from all of the tenants that have signed off on the letter, all the tenants at Rehoboth Marketplace objecting to the billboard. As you no doubt know from riding up and down the highway, the stores in the shopping center are located well off the highway. There's a huge parking lot between Highway 1 and this property, and before you get to the stores, the pylon sign for the shopping center, frankly, doesn't offer a great deal, and the tenants are gravely concerned that their exposure is going to be minimized and it's going to be further blocked by this new and sizable billboard that's being proposed. A lot of those leases come up this fall, and Ganos is very concerned that some of these tenants are going to start looking at some of the vacant properties on Route 1 that are much closer to the highway and which will increase their exposure. And it becomes a very real concern for Ganos and for the tenants themselves, and which we think affects the uses of the adjacent properties and which falls squarely within the definition of the special use exception. It's not, as Mr. Hutt suggested, a simple replacement of a billboard. What's being proposed is something which will be much higher, much larger, and a billboard which will necessarily require at least 5 variances for approval. Looking at the factors themselves, the uniqueness, although we can all acknowledge that the property dips in the location of the billboard, it didn't, as I mentioned, change overnight. It's been that way, presumably, for at least 30, 50 years. The applicant chose that location for its sign. They could have anticipated other structures being built around it, but they picked the best property for the store and, again, left the waste area to support the billboard. Can the property be reasonably developed without variances? Sure, it already is. In fact, from all appearances, it's overdeveloped. But clearly, they have everything that they have the right to have under county ordinances, under the findings that this board made back in 1995, which interestingly, at least two of you guys were on the board at that time. But it was the applicant who, again, chose the location, developed the property the way they have, and it is completely developed, probably more than it should be. Were any of the difficulties created by the applicant? Well, sure they were. Again, the applicant chose this very location for the billboard. It wasn't a function of the state highway taking 20 feet off the front of their property or something like that you see pretty frequently. This is the same situation that's existed for 20 years. It just didn't become a hardship or an exceptional practical difficulty overnight. The applicant created it 20 years ago, and this board's not in business to relieve individuals from decisions which individuals may have come to regret. Does it change the character of the neighborhood? I think this is clearly one of the most challenging areas. It has been traditional for somebody to come in here and say, oh, what's another billboard on Route 1? But as Bob Dylan said, the times are changing. We're all aware of the moratorium, the ordinance for a moratorium, which the council introduced last week and which I guess is going to go to a public hearing fairly soon. I think that's there in large measure because of your questions and your prodding to the county council. I've read the letter that you sent to them last spring, which I think had a good deal to do with why that's even being considered. But it was clear from that letter and from the minutes of your meeting, which are in Exhibit D, that there were a lot of concerns on your mind as to the proliferation of billboards, signs in general, whether or not things had to be updated. And those minutes, if nothing else, show us that DelDOT was also taking a greater interest. Now, a lot of people in Delaware go ugh when they hear DelDOT getting involved in anything. But what those minutes do suggest is that there are some very clear safety concerns which have risen to the higher on the hierarchy, higher on the heap, I suppose, in DelDOT's minds, and which has prompted them to start requesting an opportunity to comment on some of these things. So the character of the neighborhood is simply not what it was 4 or 5 years ago. There are major changes afoot, and I don't think it's appropriate to be able to just say, to rest on the fact that over the years a lot of billboards have been approved. I think those things are going to change soon. And the last item was whether or not the variances are the minimum necessary for relief, and we would submit that there's no variance necessary. There's no relief necessary, none entitled for applicants who have violated the county ordinances. And I couldn't locate, in all honesty, the clean hands ordinance that the county passed a few years ago, which might very well preclude them from even being here this evening or certainly from getting any relief. And maybe Mr. Sharp will locate that for you. But I was also, I also noticed the minutes from a meeting back in April. Those show up on Exhibit E, in which this board had applications for new billboards that seemed to stem just from the developer or the property owner's desire to have something nicer, something bigger, something better than they've had for over the years. And you turned them down unanimously, telling them that there's no reason you can't just renovate what you got, reface it, fix it up, and you'll have exactly what you need. That's really the situation here tonight. The applicants just want something nicer, something better, something that'll maybe produce a little bit more revenue. In fact, they have everything that they can possibly squeeze onto this property. The variances that they've requested are outrageous. I mean, we're looking at coming up another, well, Mr. Hutt said 18 feet. I thought the application said they were going to go to 31. But they don't need the height. That very first picture in Exhibit B shows you that it's not being blocked at all by that the county substation. They're looking for a variance to have a billboard almost twice the size of what your ordinance currently permits. They want a 42-foot variance from a side yard setback, leaving them with 8 feet. Again, it's not just simply a replacement. This is an altogether new billboard, which will be much higher, much larger than the one that exists. It clearly adversely affects the neighboring properties and threatens the existence of the shopping center. And the applicants simply have not made out a case for any of the relief they've requested this evening. Greg? Please state your name for the record.
Gregory Fisher.
And Greg, you are the property manager for the shopping center, correct?
Yes.
And you've heard me reference a number of facts to the Board of Adjustments this evening. Are they correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, they are.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's our presentation.
Taylor, are there any questions from members of the board for Mr. Burrow? Mr. Workman?
No.
Mr. Becker?
Yes, Mr. Burrow. That Clean Hands Act, I was wondering about that myself, and you brought that up before I could. Even if that was approved, we couldn't take any action, I don't believe, with this in violation. You're sure that's not grandfathered, this billboard?
It would be grandfathered in its current condition, absolutely, right. Because it preceded the Clean Hands Doctrine. But a billboard has always been an off-premise sign, so
correct.
Regardless of the Clean Hands
correct.
Law, it's been in violation for who knows how many years. Okay. Whether that Clean Hands Doctrine prevents
would apply if we approved it, or you're saying that they wouldn't be able to even get a permit for
I don't. It I, yeah, I think it precludes a permit.
Okay.
As long as the violation.
All right, that's my.
Mr.
Burrow,
Mr.
Sure
Rickard,
that,
I don't have the ordinance in front of me.
Uh-huh.
If it's something I could certainly look at if this board is good. Interested right. in that, but. If I recall, the Clean Hands Ordinance was referring to monetary monies owed to the county. Uh-huh. I'm not sure that it was in violation of things like this, because frankly, there's a lot of times we have variance applications that come before us where there's something in violation. So I
this is the first time this has been brought to my attention, though, to the fact that we are in a situation where there is a violation. Blatant violation, in other words, of an off-premise sign being advertised, their own business, okay.
And I believe the applicant even admitted as such in their presentation.
Right.
The issue, and the one that Mr. Burrell has raised, was whether or not the Clean Hands Ordinance even precludes them from bringing the application. And, I mean, I'll look at this more closely, but my recollection is that it does not.
Let me, while you're doing that, Mr. Sharp, could you clarify my mind and I think the rest of the board on if you had violations on that parcel, okay? Okay, you had violations on that parcel. Would that apply to any, like the other sign that's there that's in violation? That's an on-premise sign. And sure. Advertising off-premise. Now, that's the same parcel.
What I'm saying is I don't think the Clean Hands Ordinance would preclude this board from hearing an application for okay. variances for a new sign.
Okay.
If there are other violations on there, then that would be something this board could weigh. I mean, that
I was
certainly
gonna
say, could look at that.
Yeah.
But I think that becomes an issue for planning and zoning and the enforcement office.
But something that we consider in our decision, though, really?
Well, I mean, you're looking at the whole property.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sure. You're looking at whether this is
absolutely.
Character of the neighborhood, whether it's
right.
substantial, you know,
right.
there's you're looking at the whole picture.
I'm looking at the whole picture.
That's part of what's on the property.
Part of what's on the property, so, right. Okay, I just want to make sure my thinking was in the same.
But I can look at the Clean Hands Ordinance and get back to the board about that, but that was my recollection of it. Maybe Mr. Burrell could correct me or Mr. Huck could correct me, but I don't have that handy on me. So.
Yeah, and I apologize. I couldn't find it today, and so I really don't know what it says.
Yeah, I recall looking at it some time ago, but that was my recollection of it. So.
Okay. Mr. Mills, do you have any questions?
Not for the opposition, but I do for the applicant.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
No.
Okay. Thank you, then.
Thank you,
sir. Yes.
I did have one, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
For the opposition, if I may.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burrow. We have.
Oh, sorry.
He has one question. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Sorry. Escaped before I could get it out. You'd mentioned that there had been a substantial adverse effect on your client. Could you further elaborate on that? Is it blocking the ability to see their businesses or their entrances? What kind of effect is it having?
It's spelled out in a little bit more detail in Exhibit C, which is what the tenants all signed off on. They're concerned with how the sign might block where they are located now. They are also concerned with what I described as the problem with them being so far off the road as it is. The vision is limited there, and the more that's up on the highway to divert someone's attention is taking away from their ability to advertise, which is really limited to the pylon sign that's located there. From Gano's position, which is the landlord, they obviously have a concern with tenants fleeing and finding other premises and having empty stores in their shopping center.
Okay. And they've noticed that problem with the current billboard?
The current billboard, as it sits, I think everybody's gotten used to. And certainly from a legal standpoint, nobody can complain about what's already there. But what's been proposed is far different than what's already there, boosting it up, widening it.
Well, I believe, and from what I'm hearing from the applicant, the existing sign is roughly 12 by 40, and the proposed sign is 12 by 48. So it sounds like it's, you know, there is
relatively close, but still twice what you allow for a sign. It's the combination, too, Mr. Sharp, of not only making it larger, but also lifting it up 16 or 12 or 14 feet, whatever it's going to be. Which makes it much more prominent in the general scheme of things.
Does the current sign block the views of your client's pylon sign?
Not the pylon sign, because you would have to be at a very sharp angle, no pun intended, to see that happen. But what happens is when you're driving south, and you've seen it, the pylon sign for the shopping center is a very modest one, then the next thing you see is this billboard for the seashell shop. Raise it up 12 feet, make it wider, it's going to take even more attention away from the shopping center.
Is there a concern that raising it will block views?
Absolutely. That's one of the things the tenants mentioned in the letter. It's hard to visualize exactly what it would be, because it was difficult from the application to determine, for example, the angle of the sign. If you look at that picture, it's almost got it swiveling. I don't think it's intended to swivel, but it's hard to tell from Axiom's drawing exactly what the angle is going to be. But there is a concern from the tenants back there in the shopping center that wherever it is up along that road, higher, larger, is going to block them to some extent.
Well, perhaps the applicant can answer some of those questions. Thank you, Mr. Pearl.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Hutt, would you please? Okay. Now, we have questions from members of the board for Mr. Hutt, who would like to.
It was the opposition had stated that on the property right now there's a sign. It advertises both the seashell shop and say that fast three times and and the where it advertises Shall We Bounce. Is that true? In fact an off-premise business?
Shall We Bounce is an off-premise. It's a related business, but okay. The physical location of Shall We Bounce is off-premise.
Okay. And what about as far as the ice cream, Shall We Eat Ice Cream? Is that located on-premise or off-premise?
Yes, those are all related businesses right there.
On-premise?
Correct.
Okay. I guess, you know, the one, similarly, we have applicants that apply for other types of variances, and my first question is always, what assurances do we have that if this is granted, some amount of time they go back to advertising an on-premise business? And it just, to me, they knew that that was illegal, and yet they still advertise an off-premise business on an on-premise sign. So I kind of like to know from the applicant what assurances we have that wouldn't continue.
I guess you said they knew it was illegal. I would posit that they didn't know it was illegal. They've never received a notice of violation from the county. So even if the Clean Hands Ordinance were to apply, which it does not, because that applies to monetary amounts, They've never received a notice of violation saying, hey guys, wait a second, that's an off, you're doing your on-premise on off-premise on off-premise on on-premise. And when you have businesses that are highly interrelated like these businesses, on site there you have miniature golf, ice cream, fudge, taffy, you have all sorts of things going on site there. Without somebody from the county coming out and monitoring each one of those signs, they put up signs to advertise what they do. There's no willful violation of the county's ordinances. There's been no notices of any violations. There was even an accusation from the opposition that they chose the location of this sign. As I said, when I presented it, the sign was on the premises when it was bought. It's been there for probably 50 years or more, just as the sign across the street has. They didn't choose the location of the sign. That's where the sign has been located. There was a question about whether or not the sign looks like it swivels. That's simply showing, designating a V-shaped sign, not
as opposed to a flat surface sign that's there.
That's not up on the screen, but to claim that this impacts the shopping center is there. You could see the extremely large gap in area between the location of the sign where it currently is, as well as obviously the proposed relocation in the same spot. And the shopping center itself almost completely sits entirely outside the 300-foot radius. The fact that tenants want to move closer to Route 1, which is why they would break their leases, there's nothing that can be done or gained by the Seashell Shop billboard with respect to those things. Mr. Burrell also detailed that change is coming. Change has not arrived yet. Frankly, it would be inappropriate to consider the impact of whether or not the county decides to enter a moratorium on this matter. The question is the current state of the law, not what Ganos or somebody else thinks might happen in the future. With respect to the character of the neighborhood, frankly, you can tell the character of the neighborhood by looking at what's there, which is billboards. Billboards that are along this section of Route 1, including this billboard itself. Again, all the pictures that were shown in Exhibit 6, those billboards are either larger and or taller than what's being proposed here. As Mr. Sharp was questioning the opposition, if we're going to just use standard numbers right now, the current billboard's 12 by 40, and the proposed billboard is going to be 12 by 48. So the additional 8 feet is going to block this business in some way that it hasn't for the past 50 years. The existing billboard was there before any of those other structures were there.
So you're saying the billboard's not blocking anything now?
It's not blocking anything now, nor will the proposed billboard block
okay,
anything.
Okay, then why can't you go with the county ordinance?
Because of the way it's
written.
With the location to
600 square feet, 25 feet high? Well, if that's the case, then why couldn't you go with a special use exception, the 50 feet, the 25 feet, all the criteria that are needed for a billboard, okay, and 25 feet high from the ground, you were saying, and if it's not, you just stated that it's not, in its present state, is not affecting anything now, right? Any views or anything?
It's not affecting
like
their businesses, correct.
So why couldn't you do it? Why couldn't you put up a billboard, if it was approved by this board, that is in conjunction with the ordinance?
Because
except for the separation. I understand that. The separation from, what did you say?
Are you saying with regard to size and height?
Yes, size and height. I'm not talking about the, separation between the 50 foot that you had. What do you need, a 48 foot? What's your adjustments you need for the sign itself?
For the
side yards and away from other businesses, other signs. You have other adjustments there, right?
Correct.
I can understand that, but I don't understand why, if you just told me that this sign does not, in its present state, does not affect any of the visual ideas, okay, or as you're coming down Route 1 or in that area.
So it has no impact on the neighboring properties, the view of those
so
properties.
So if you used the ordinance, okay, the way it was written, except for the variances I just mentioned, and you went 25 feet high, you went 300 feet on each side, that wouldn't bother you at all, right? I mean, you could still see that sign. Is that what you're saying?
It would be similar to the sign that's there now, just smaller.
Right.
But that wouldn't, nobody would replace the sign and make, it wouldn't be economically feasible to replace the sign with a steel monopole structure.
Well, then I wouldn't replace it. That would make sense.
I mean, that certainly is an option.
That would make sense.
But if the goal here is to make the sign safer.
Our goal here is to make sure that you need that, not you want that. We're here to make sure that you need that. And we agree that, you know, that's unusual, that you can see that sign the way it is now, and you'd be able to see it the way it is, you know, it wouldn't be a problem if you went with the ordinance the way it's written.
I don't think we're agreeing about the same points, but again, this is no different than the last four applications that have been in here.
I don't care about the next four. I care about this one, okay? 25 feet, 300 feet at each side. There a problem with that? You wouldn't be able to see it?
It's not that you wouldn't be able to see it.
Okay.
Nobody said you wouldn't be able to. You can see the sign currently. It just sits down lower than everything else.
Right.
You're saying that by being so low, if you bought that sign, it would be the same height as the rest of them. You're down in a low spot. That's what you're doing. When was the last time you updated that sign with the poles and resurfaced it and everything?
When was the last time you put a new pole on the sign?
Mayor, if you can step up. That's okay.
I have a few things to say. There was a storm and it knocked down one of the poles and we replaced the poles. It was just before my husband passed away, so it would have been 2009, which is when we were actually going to do this whole thing. But my husband passed away, so we stopped. Obviously, I was a little busy. But a couple of things. The sign on the end that's advertising the ice cream, I actually called Sussex County, and I asked him if I could do that, and he said, is it going to be on your golf course property? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you can do the ice. He says, is it going to be temporary? I said, yes, sir. He said, you may put it up in the summer and take it down in the winter. I said, okay. So that was the way I did it. Maybe that was incorrect, but I got permission to do it. And it's only been up one summer. We take it down, put it up in May, and we take it down in September. It didn't occur to me that I was doing something wrong. I would not have done it. The original sign, when we came in before you years ago, we actually had a picture of the exact same billboard. We haven't changed the picture at all. Presented to you, saying Seashell Shop, and they told us it was beautiful and we could use it just as it was. I didn't know that we weren't supposed to do that. That's naive, I know, but I mean, I actually still have the paper that we presented to the board when we got permission to put the sign up, and no one told us not to do it. So we didn't know. I just didn't know. What was existing were the pylons. We actually used the same pylons. They're 50 years old, and we just put new wood up and the billboard up is what we did. We didn't asked to change anything. We didn't ask to do anything else. We just did exactly what was already existing.
So in 1980, you didn't do anything?
1995.
Yeah, but didn't you change it? 1980, was it rebuilt or repaired?
No,
then?
1980.
What happened then?
No, 1990. We bought the building in 93.
Okay. Did you have any recollection? I mean, that when it
yes,
was put
absolutely.
Up
it was, and what was existing were the pilings
right.
And a billboard that was half fallen down.
Right.
And we came before you, mm-hmm. And they said we could build a new one, or we could just use what's existing, and we said, we'll use what's existing. And then we had a picture of it, and they said, okay, and we showed them.
And the picture said Seashell Shop.
It's the exact same. I have not changed. I've had it redone, but I have not changed the wording at all. Nothing. Even the picture, even the logo. It's our logo. So, and I'm that's naive. I know that's not good law, but that's exactly what happened. So...
Well, we're trying to avoid, you know, the old saying, too wrong, so
that's
why
I wanted
right.
you to so know. I mean, if I had known, I would not have done it.
We understand that.
Well, I'm not saying you did it intentionally.
And right. And when I did put that sign up for the ice cream, I called Sussex County, and he was so nice. He said, sure,
right,
Mr. Derrick.
Look, we're talking about the billboard now, and we can understand if you were... you're ignorant of the fact that you couldn't advertise
younger.
This right, right?
We were
but
all
we
younger.
Don't two wrongs don't make a right. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
there's
we,
not
we
an
want
excuse.
To approach that
it's not
now.
An excuse.
That's what the board's trying to do
right.
now. And that's what your lawyer
just so you know
to.
That we didn't intentionally ever do anything.
Right.
To, we would okay. not have we, done that.
I believe you. Okay.
And I don't I, you brought up that business that's on our little flashback. That was all me. That's my daughter-in-law. And so I, as a mother-in-law, trying to make good graces with my daughter-in-law, insisted that we put that up there just for her. And, you know, I didn't think that was illegal either. I was.
You're referring to the Shawi Bass.
I am. My daughter-in-law owns that, and I thought, you know, what a nice thing to do, and it's a good thing for a mother-in-law to do for her daughter-in-law. So I suggested it. I did not occur to me that that was even if there was anything wrong with that at all, except for that she's my daughter-in-law.
You know, the old parallel, you know, where the state trooper stops you and says, I didn't know it was a 35-mile-an-hour zone.
You know,
he still gives you the ticket, doesn't he?
You are exactly right, sir. But I would smile,
Mr. Rickard,
I would take it willingly.
And Mr. Rickard, in all fairness, that 35-mile-an-hour speed zone would be marked.
Yeah, right.
I'd talk him out of it. I mean, I would say to him, tell him the truth. The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just tell him the truth. I mean, that's why it is. It exists what it is. So, does anybody have any other questions about all that other stuff that was mentioned?
No, we appreciate that candor. I do.
So, Chairman, I have one.
I'm sorry if we did something wrong.
No.
I had no idea.
Okay.
Absolutely no idea.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Hutt, just for my clarification, the existing sign, is it 18, the top of the sign is 18 feet above the ground?
If you were to measure at the ground level.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
I got one question to ask you, too. Would you have a problem if you got the height, but I meant the 300 on each side? Would you have a problem with that way? We granted a height if we did that, put 300 on both sides?
It's still not, the economics of replacing a sign with a steel monopole structure, it doesn't make sense to do that.
300 on both sides, you wouldn't
correct.
Do that.
Correct, because you're losing almost 200 square feet of space. And incurring a significant cost for, I mean, those structures are tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay, then, Chair, we'll entertain a motion after hearing all the opposition.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, just to make sure there's nobody else here.
Was anyone else here in opposition? Okay.
I thought maybe I saw the main room.
No, that's okay. The chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table case
11-6-12
until August 17th. Okay. So I can go over some of this paraphernalia that both the opposition, which has done a good job, and the applicant has done a good job, and both lawyers have done a good job. So I'd like to go over the documentation that both the applicant and the opposition presented.
Right. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we table case number 11612 until our next regular meeting, which will be August the 17th. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Again, Mr. Bricker?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I'm Mr. Callaway, so by a vote of 5-0, case number 11612 is tabled until our next meeting. Thank you. Okay, next case, please.
Thank you. The next application is case 11613. Nicholas Michaels seeks variances to reduce the rear yard and the side yard setbacks. Sections 115-115.